just failed. Instead of saying, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to be intentional and go do this. Come on, folks, we make it clear. Intentional living is not about my plans, it's about God's plans for our lives, but then doing it. So what do you do when you fail? So many people fail and they go into depression, or they try to really whip it up more and try to control. Instead of stopping and saying, hey, if it's your will, Lord, that's a hard thing for me to say.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Coming up, Dr. Randy continues his teaching on tripwires for your life. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life. Here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Intentional Living Center. And I'm excited as we continue this series on tripwires for your life. And you're all telling us you're getting it. You're sharing with us on Facebook. Some of you are calling, telling us your story. Let me ask you the question, what is one tripwire that you have put in place in your life to keep you in bounds, you know, to keep you on the path? Kind of a reminder, like that alarm clock, something in your life that kind of brings you back, wakes you up and says, hey, I need to be intentional, but intentional to honor God. What is it? Tell us about it. You can share that at 888-888-1717 on our comment line or on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you as well. Come to the website. Click on Facebook there again, theintentionallife.com. Just before we move over to the Teaching Center and continue to share the teaching that it was recorded there with my staff and visitors, just before we do that, a reminder of two things. One is I get a chance to speak tomorrow. My wife and I are going to be in Phoenix at the Calvary Community Church, and they're putting on a conference called Hope, Not Shame. Cynthia Hyatt is speaking. They've invited me to come and be a keynote, and I'm going to be speaking a couple times tomorrow on the power of one thing and how our mindset can either be our friend or enemy. It's tomorrow throughout the day. I think it starts about 9 o'clock in the morning. Information's available. Secondly, San Luis Obispo coming your way for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, March 24th. Get registered. We're going to have a great evening. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. All right, let's continue with tripwires for your life. In your life, we all have goals. Could be a goal to have a great marriage. Could be a goal to have a business. It could be a goal to raise your kids. You know, we all kind of have goals, spoken or unspoken. And there's something about those moments of failure in our life when things don't work out. I think that should be a tripwire. I think that should stop and cause us to be shaken out of the autopilot and ask some questions about what just happened here. What is God's intention in this failure? And what is my intention? My marriage failed. What's God's intention? What happened? And what's my intention in response to that? I had a reversal in a business. What do you do about that? What's God's intention? You had a project that you were working on, or anything in your life that you had a goal for was yours. See, intentional living is very goal-directed, right? But we don't always succeed in these goals. And when they fail, we've got to ask ourselves, what's God's intention and what's my intention? And I think of the scripture on that in James chapter 4, 13 through 15. It's verses we've often read. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Isn't it even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. There's a tripwire, right? You just failed. Instead of saying, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to be intentional and go do this. Come on, folks, we make it clear. Intentional living is not about my plans, it's about God's plans for our lives. But then doing it. What do you do when you fail? So many people fail and they go into depression, or they try to really whip it up more and try to control. Instead of stopping and saying, hey, if it's your will, Lord, that's a hard thing for me to say. I mean, I know intellectually that's the truth. God, this is your work, not mine. But I'll tell you what, when things aren't going the way I'd like to see them go, there's a whole other part of me that shows up. Right? And that's just human nature. That's why I think there's a tripwire here. That's why God had James write this down for us. Don't go say you're going to go do this and that and have your intentional goals. It's better to say we're going to go do this and that and have these intentional goals if it's God's will. See, that's a profound thought. That's a tripwire. You fail, stop. What is God teaching me? Here's a fourth one that's external, and then we're going to look at six internal tripwires. This one I thought of in the middle of the night last night, and I took another one out and put this one in, typed it in this morning. Another tripwire in life should be beginnings and endings. Beginnings and endings. Weeks. I think it's important for us at the end of a week to stop as a tripwire and say, how did this week go? What happened? What was God's intention this week? Did I fulfill God's intentions for my life this week? What were my intentions this week? My purpose, my goals, my direction. Months, end of months. That's kind of a bigger review. How'd this last month go? End of the year, I've talked to you about the last week of the year. I try to sit down at the end of the year and spend, you know, part of a day and just take the whole calendar for the year and look at all the things I've done and then say, how did I use time or waste time? What were the things that were beneficial or things that were not so beneficial? These are natural tripwires in life. Weeks, days, weeks, months, years. And I wrote down a couple other. I think weddings, I think, is a tripwire. What do you do when you go to a wedding? And I don't see, I go to a lot of weddings as we used to when we were younger because of the age of people and so on. But when I go to weddings, I wouldn't just sit there and look at all the beautiful flowers. I would think about the sanctity of marriage, a tripwire to bring us back, shake us into what God's intention is for marriage. And why is the marriage ceremony such a beautiful picture of a bride and groom and God's love for the church, as it says in the book of Ephesians? I think divorce is another tripwire. I think when people go through a divorce, if it's not yourself, someone you know. What was God's intention? What's God's intention for marriage? What got violated there? What went wrong? What's my intention in response to that? I think births are another one. We've been through several here in the last few years in our family with six grandchildren. To stand and hold this new little baby, Zoe, Derek and Aria's little girl, and Aya just a few months ago for Chris and Andrea. Not just to say, oh man, we're excited about a new grandbaby, but to look at the miracle of life and to hold that baby, to be a tripwire, to shake us out of our just life and say, this is a miracle. To see that baby and hold that baby, that's a miracle, isn't it? These are natural tripwires in life that can wake us up. We can see these things. I think another one is death, going to a funeral. Man, you go to a funeral. None of us like going to funerals. We live in such a huge state of denial. That's never going to be me. That's them.
You're listening to Intentional Living, and Dr. Randy will be back in a moment to continue his teaching.
Me and my wife were lucky enough to both change jobs here recently and pretty much double our income. And you hit that American attitude, make more, spend more.
How have you learned to be content? This is a spiritual thing. You know, the Apostle Paul did say in Philippians 4, not that I'm speaking of being in need, but he says, for I have learned whatever situation I'm in to be content.
We're actually debating on getting a new house or not. We've only been in our house for a very short amount of time. We haven't started a family yet. And listen to that lady talk about being able to send her kids to a Christian school.
You know, God knows the desires of our heart, and He knew that we really wanted to have our kids in Christian school. So we've been content to drive older cars. We've been content to have a yard that isn't finished.
They can receive a good education, and a daily lesson in God's Word would mean way more than another 1,000 square feet ever could. So today definitely just clarified a bunch of stuff for me. It was pretty much like a sign.
The definition of a budget, according to one jokester, is a mathematical confirmation of your suspicions.
From the Intentional Living Center, this is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your Intentional Stewardship Coach.
You know, it's true. Many people hate budgeting because the process reveals unpleasant realities about money. The key is to be intentional about every dollar. Here's a simple formula known as the 10-10-80 principle. Give 10% to the Lord's work, save 10%, and spend only the remaining 80%. Now, you might say that living on 80% is unworkable. The funny thing is, those who say they can't live on 80% often can't live on 100%. But listen, the 10-10-80 principle doesn't just change your spending habits. It changes your perspective and your heart. It will transform budgeting from a bore to a blessing. For Intentional Living, I'm Rod Robison.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
Just life and say, this is a miracle. To see that baby and hold that baby, that's a miracle, isn't it? These are natural tripwires in life. They can wake us up. We can see these things. I think another one is death, going to a funeral. Man, you go to a funeral. None of us like going to funerals. We live in such a huge state of denial. That's never going to be me. That's them. And as you get older, the denial kind of, you can only deny so long, you know? What do you do at a funeral? Do you hurry up and get out? You know what most of us do? We are in such a hurry to get out of the funeral and go and get the potato salad. Right? We want to get out of the funeral and go have the potato salad and hug the person who's gone through a loss and get on. But we get in our car and turn the radio back on or go do something and lose sight of the fact that this is a real moment in time. And those of us who've lost parents, lost loved ones, and our little granddaughter who only lived for 30 minutes, those are real moments to stop and say, life is brief. I think what happens so often with these tripwires in our life, and there's many of them every day, there's tripwires that set off that give us a chance to be shaken out of lethargy and brought to reality, that we kind of move along in life. So those were four of what I call the external, kind of external tripwires. There's others. You could, and if I pass the mic around, maybe we will at the end. Think about it. Maybe you're going to be thinking of some tripwires that we could put on the CD to send out as reminders to our donors, to things that you're thinking of that could be tripwires. But those are four. Here's six internal ones. You ready? These are ones that go on inside of us that I think we need to use to wake us up that something needs to come from autopilot to real world today. Number one here is anger. I think anger is a tripwire in our life. It says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 4:4, be angry, but do not sin. Isn't that interesting? That's the same words that Paul uses in the book of Ephesians. Be angry and do not sin. But the psalmist goes on to say, but meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. That's interesting. You know, I have always said that emotions are given to us as a fuel. We do something with an emotion. If you're an emotion person, if you're a person that has emotion, see this as a gift from God. Why am I angry right now? What is God's intention about this anger that I'm feeling? Is it driving me to healing, to forgiveness? Is it driving me to understand myself and my own failings or how I contributed to the problem? Is it something that I'm trying to control? Am I trying to be a person that's, you know, always being able to control everything around me, and when things aren't in control, I get angry? What is God's intention about anger in our life? If God didn't have an intention for it, he wouldn't give it to us. God uses all things for his benefit, right? Even anger. And then what's my intention in response to that? Number six, as we're looking at these 10 tripwires, number six is discontentment. I think discontentment is a tripwire, when we just aren't content with how things are going on. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a good kind of discontentment and a bad kind of discontentment. If you're discontented with how your marriage is going, that maybe is a good thing. And you're going to then say, what's God's intention about this discontentment in my life, and what am I going to do about it? How am I going to respond to it? But many times in the culture in which we live, we're just not contented with what we do. We're not contented with the people we work with. We're not contented with the person we're married to. We're not contented about the financial situation. We're not contented about our church. And this constant wearing of discontent in our life, Satan, I believe, uses to discourage us and drag us down. There's power in contentment. I was listening to a TV special. I just happened to have it on. I was on the treadmill and the TV was on, and it was some Ivy League neuroscientists doing research on happiness and how our brains function and Is matter really matter? Is this really here? Is it all in my mind? And, you know, all of the things that we talk about in neuroscience and psychology and so on. But he made two statements I thought were interesting. This secular researcher, he said, one is, we know that your intention, that's the word he used, your intention will change your brain chemistry, and your intention will change your outcomes. I thought that was interesting. And the second thing, as they interviewed another neuroscientist, is one of the greatest problems we have in our culture today is a lack of contentment. We're constantly discontented with our world that we're in.
Boy, that's so true. Boy, that's applicable. Talking about tripwires for your life, and as we move to from the external to the internal tripwires, the things that go on inside of you, we'll pick up from here and continue on in the next few days here. Hey, let me just take a quick break here before we have some other great things to share with you on this topic about how this ministry exists. What is it? Intentional Living is a ministry that was created for one purpose, and that's to help each of us as followers of Christ to know Him personally, but then to actually live it out. How do we live it out in our marriage? How can we be intentional with our finance, with our faith, with our kids, with our work, with our health? And when you are, better things will happen. And we have all over the country people who have stepped up and said, we want to be a part of this journey. We want to support what you're doing, Randy, as a listener-supported ministry, as a ministry to help people around the world with intentional living. And your ongoing monthly support makes a difference as you share $30 a month or $40 a month or $50 a month. Thank you. And I'm going to send you two of my books, Autograph, The Power of One Thing, and Starve for Affection. Two CDs as well from this month, Life in Transition, and then The Empty Nest. We'll send that to you to say thank you for your support. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and join up today. And thank you. Thank you for standing with us.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
You know, with a name like Intentional Living, you gotta believe that Dr. Randy wants you to be intentional. And you'd be right. This month, he's helping you to be intentional for your life. And when you become a monthly member, you'll not only get Dr. Randy's monthly coaching CDs, but you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes two of Dr. Randy's books, Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the IL wristband. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call anytime, 1-888-888-1717, and press option number 4.
I am very afraid that someone's going to break into my apartment at night since I have no one here to protect me or to look like there's a man in the house. I leave lights on. I sleep with two phones. My kids sleep with me. And I can't go to sleep at night. I lay awake listening to my neighbors walk on their floor thinking, is that someone in my apartment or is that my neighbor in their apartment?
My wife and I are possibly considering moving away from our support system in our hometown so that I can continue in school and maybe get a master's degree. And it's just kind of nervous. And I know, you know what I mean? I know that we're not supposed to be scared. Yet I find myself thinking about all of these things quite a bit.
I'm fear of not having enough money to pay bills or meet my family's expectations. Afraid of not having enough food. It's just, it's the fear that's always there.
You know, when I think of fears, the Bible's not silent on that. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Paul says that to Timothy. God's not given you that spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Boy, that'll preach. And that those three things are really true. Be intentional, understanding, embracing, absorbing those three realities from Scripture for yourself. Well, you know, we get questions on our story comment line, a few questions that we've gotten from people facing issues in their lives really do come along the line of tripwires. So let's jump in and see what we got here, Steve. What's number one?
Randy. My name is Curtis, and I'm a 16-year-old kid, and I was a really hardcore Christian, and a whole lot of bad stuff happened, and I guess I couldn't take it, so I just kind of stopped going to church, and I stopped doing everything Christian. I didn't completely turn my back on God. It's just when I left the churches that I went to, everybody just started criticizing me and saying that I was a non-believer, and now I'm afraid to start going back to that church, and I always want to know if you could give me any type of insight. Just tell me something what to do, because I'm really, really stumped here. I've done everything I can.
Hey, listen, Curtis. First of all, you've got a tender spirit. You want to do the right thing. And I believe when the Bible teaches us that if we seek, we'll find, that if you're truly seeking, you're going to find. But let me just make an observation. You talked about being a hardcore in your faith and doing Christian things and people rejecting you at church. It was a lot of external stuff, out there stuff. Life is full of a lot of out there stuff. You're going to have it all your life. I've been a Christian for many years. There's a lot of people that can be discouraging. There's a lot of stuff that can drag you down. Life is full of stuff. And as we follow Christ, that stuff doesn't go away. But we have something inside of us. We have a new power in our life. So my encouragement to you as a young man is, as a follower of Christ, that you go on the inside and have a personal, dynamic, growing relationship with Christ, getting into His Word, having people around you who support you in your growth, people who will hold you accountable. But remember, a Christian walk begins from the inside out, not the outside in. Intentional living begins with figuring out what pleases Christ. That's an inside job, taking care of the inside first. Then the doing part takes care of itself. Read the book of Ephesians. See, the first three chapters of Ephesians is all about inside. The last three chapters are about outside. Begin on the inside, then move to the outside, okay? All right. Question number two, Steve, what is it?
My husband currently doesn't see much need for going to church. He feels we have other priorities, and I want him to be the spiritual leader, but I feel that I have a responsibility to follow the commandment to not forsake assembling together and to be a part of a church body. How do I live that problem in submission to my husband and yet in submission to my ultimate authority, which is Father God? If you could answer my question, I'd be very thankful. Bye-bye.
Well, there's always nuances in a question like that, but I will say you need to approach your husband. Don't try to change him. Don't be his Holy Spirit. Don't tell him he should be the spiritual leader and why isn't he going to church. He'll just be turned off more than ever. Just love on him, give him a big kiss, and say, honey, I'd like to continue to grow my faith and be in church, and I'm going to be going to church on Sunday. And, boy, I'd love to have you come be a part of it. But I'm just going to be away for an hour or two because I want to be in fellowship with other believers and growing in God's Word. But don't wag your finger in his face when you do it. And make sure when you spend time with him, there's a lot of love and a lot of affection and a lot of appreciation. But also it'll remind him that you're also a person who loves Christ, and that's number one in your life. Do it intentionally, but do it lovingly, okay? All right, I think we have time for one more, Steve.
Randy, I'm trying to live the intentional life. I have two sons that are in seventh grade, and we are going to a church that I thought was totally biblically based. But when they got into the youth group, they are now playing Xbox with the killing games. And I just can't see that that's really biblically right. Can you help me, you know, just answer? I don't know. I just need to know if that's right or if we should be looking for another church. Thank you.
Hey, listen, you're a mom. You're concerned. You're responsible for raising your kids. I always tell people you're going to be the one standing before God someday in terms of your responsibility, not the youth director at the church, okay? Now, at the same time, these poor youth guys and ladies that are working, sometimes they're trying to keep your kids entertained because they're coming to church and many times not getting the support from home that they need spiritually as well. Kids today are under a lot of pressure. They live on these electronic devices. And sometimes in an attempt to reach the young generation, we can fall into the trap of being so entertainment-oriented that we miss why we're together. And so here's what I encourage you to do. I would encourage you to go to the youth director or the pastor in charge of youth and say, how can I help? How can I be a part of the program? How about some other parents coming in and supporting you and being here and taking some of the load off your back so it doesn't have to be just an entertainment time? These young pastors who are trying to do this, they're facing a lot of challenges. So my encouragement to you is that, first of all, go and see if you can help make a difference and be a difference maker. But at the same time, if you at the end of the day you find out it's not where you want your kids to be, then you guys need to start praying about where should you be as a family, because ultimately that's your responsibility.
Hi, this is Mary Rose. I had a teacher in high school. Her intentional living, she just really touched the lives of students, and I think that set her apart. She had cancer and actually died of it my senior year of high school. But the fact that she came to school every day and showed us her love, I think many Christians even, besides, you know, people that don't have Christ in their lives, probably would have, you know, given up and probably blamed God for their situation. My teacher never did. And I think that is how she really lived intentionally and touched my life personally and really impacted my faith, as well as the faith of many students around her.
Wow. You know, thank you, Mary Rose. When I think of intentional living, that teacher exemplified it. She knew probably this was the end of her life, and she wanted to get to the end of her life and finish strong. That's one of the things we talk about, intentional living. It comes about knowing our purpose, living our purpose, and then we talk about finishing strong. Someday we're going to be there, all of us. That's why we are so passionate about this message. Your life is so very short, and so is mine. We want to help you connect your life, the days that you have on this planet, with the intentional living message of how you actually live. So at the end of every day, the end of every month, the end of every year, you can look back and say, no, it wasn't a perfect time, but I chose to be intentional in my walk with Christ. Thank you for being a member, helping us do this. Your monthly support makes a difference. We're going to send you our brand new kit, The Power of One Thing and Star for Affection, two of our teaching, and every month teaching online, on CD rather, to say thank you for your support. Just join us today at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Come and join us on Monday. We're going to take a short break from this Tripwire study, talk about intentional discontent. Be an interesting day. See you then.